If you remember a blonde comedian with an infectious giggle who could perform a handstand on command, you remember Victoria Jackson. She recently battled breast cancer, and after this message, she'll join us on the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
Victoria Jackson has endured many scary moments, including auditioning for Saturday Night Live and getting held up at gunpoint. But her scariest was learning she had cancer. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm thrilled to welcome Victoria Jackson to our series. Thanks so much for being with us today, Victoria. Now, I just mentioned scary moments. Would you tell us a little bit more about how you found out you had cancer?
Well, it was 2015, mm-hmm. and I was at Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville, and I don't do that much stand-up anymore, but I don't like traveling because I did it for a very long time, sure. to raise my kids, to make money, to send them to a private Christian school. But then they graduated from college, and so I didn't need to work so much. So
sure.
I was at Zany's, and I had this cough, and it wouldn't go away. And I thought, how am I going to tell jokes for an hour with coughing? You know, that it's just horrible. And
yeah.
so somehow I got through it, and I was driving home. I thought, I better go to a doctor. I never go to the doctor. And I went to the walk-in clinic the next day, and I said, I can't get rid of this cough. And I said, hey, there's this little numb spot near my underarm. It's been there for 3 days. Is that my lymph nodes fighting off the cough or something?
Mm-hmm.
And the male nurse named Gordon, he said, you are immediately going to the Vanderbilt Breast Clinic. And I said, why? I don't have a lump or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I went there, and they said I had breast cancer. And there was some kind of an ultrasound or sonogram or something or MRI where I saw this black spider on the screen, and I said, is that what cancer looks like? And the woman said, it can. And I was
gracious.
So I went back in the lobby waiting for another test. And I said, Lord, I am always happy. And I know Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I know Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I know
all these verses, but I need a new one, Lord, because those verses, I just know them too well. I need a new word from you. And I was flipping through my devotional, Daily Light by Anne Graham Lotz. It's actually all Bible verses, it's no one's comment on them. It's just every day there's a bunch of verses. And
great.
And this one popped out at me, Psalm 43:5, and it said, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why is my heart discouraged or something? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him again and again. My something and my countenance or something. There's a lot of different translations.
Yes.
But it said, but the part, I will yet praise him again and again, it just jumped out at me because I thought, you know, whether I'm doing it in heaven or on earth, I will be happy again and I will be praising him again because I know him. And so that got me through the whole next year of double mastectomy, radiation, chemotherapy for 5 months, bald-headed.
Yes.
And he just carried me through that verse kind of, and he really helped, carried me through it. It wasn't that terrible.
I thank you so much for sharing that. Now, one thing that's obvious to me, you already had a love relationship with Jesus before this all started. You didn't just suddenly pick up your faith because cancer was there, right?
Right. I was raised in a Southern Baptist home, and we were in church 3 days a week. And when I was six, I understood John 3:16. I think it's because I learned how to read, and I think the words made sense to me. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart. There's a lot of different ways to put it, but I got it, even though I was six. And then I went to a Bible college when I was 16, Christian school, I had a lot of scripture memorized. But, like, my whole life I've been reading the Word and memorizing it, but now I had to live it out.
That's right. Well, one of the things I noticed, because I've been looking at, you have a book, Lavender Hair, 21 Devotions for Women with Breast Cancer. And one of the things I noticed in there was you said that you weren't blaming God. Instead, you said that the enemy has tried many ways to take you down. Can you unpack that just a little bit?
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, first of all, I thought it must be my fault. Because most sins, my parents taught me, most illnesses come from our own sin. My dad was a phys ed teacher, and my parents always taught no smoking, no drinking, which was a very good thing to teach.
Sure.
And as I had gotten more and more into Saturday Night Live, and I learned that if I smoked cigarettes secretly, when I was super nervous in my dressing room, I wouldn't eat, or I was trying to always lose weight, and I was starting to slowly not abide by the rules my childhood, my parents had taught me. You know, I wouldn't smoke in front of people or in front of my kids. It would be secret, or sip wine when I was nervous. And, you know, I know wine is okay, and Jesus drank wine and all that. But I just, when you get cancer, you're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Because the internet says alcohol causes breast cancer, of course, smoking, and overeating, can't be good for you. And then, of course, there's all these toxins in all of our food and our world. And I started to get real aware of plastic bottles, don't drink water. You know, there's just so many whatever.
Yes.
But of course I blame myself. And it is true that I think most illnesses come from our sin, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're all sinning. And
yes,
that's why it's so great Jesus died for us, right?
Right. Exactly.
So the first thing I was thinking was, wow, there's a verse in the Bible, the story where the guy was blind, and they asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was blind? Was it his parents' sin or his sin?
Yes.
And Jesus said it was nobody's sin. It was just he was born that way for the glory of God, right?
Yes.
So not all sin, not all diseases are caused by sin, the Bible says. It says that sometimes God has people get sick for his glory.
Exactly.
So that was some of my thoughts. Wait, what was your question again?
Well, originally we were asking about, I had read that you in your book that you said the enemy has tried all different ways to take you down. And so I was asking you to expand on that a little bit.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, of course, I can tell the end. Since I'm outspoken about Jesus,
yes, you
Satan
have been.
Satan has always... What?
I said, yes, you have been outspoken about Jesus.
Yeah, I think I've lost a lot of show business jobs in the last few years because of that. But I think that Satan really gets mad when people do that. And, you know, I just said that, you know, fame and money and success can take you away from the Lord. They did not take me away from the Lord, but I can see how Satan was trying to do that. Marriage problems, just anything he can, you know, and have to daily go into the Bible and pray, to and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things, of course, with your book is that it has lots of humor. But cancer isn't a topic that we normally associate with humor. Now, is that just you and your personality that God gave you, that you were able to see the humor? Did you see it as you were going through it? Were you thinking, wow, this would make a great joke? Or was it more when you reflected on it later?
Well, I think my parents and my husband are pretty funny, and we always use humor to get through icky stuff. But some of the time, I had to force myself to try to see the funny side. And I remember, I think all good art comes from pain. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, oh, what's funny about cancer? And I remember I was just laying in bed, sometimes so weak from the chemo that I couldn't turn the channel on the TV, but I would play worship songs. I would play Debbie Selby singing River of My Life, Light Upon My Path by Stormy O'Martin over and over, and I would play My Redeemer Lives by Nicole C. Mullen. I'd play that over and over. And so I'd be like, okay, where's the joke here? Where's the joke here? And I came up with about three jokes about cancer, and then I came up with two songs that are some of my favorite ukulele songs, and those were because of cancer. So, but sometimes I had to try to look for the humor.
I can imagine. Well, you have a lot of songs in the book that you share. It looks like a poem when it's written in the book, but we can picture you, because there's you on the cover with your ukulele ready to share your songs with us. And one of the stories that I loved in the book was a particular one, because I have children who are addicted to Starbucks. And this was a spiritual story, because a worker at Starbucks actually gave you a word from the Lord. Would you share that story with us?
Yeah. Now, this was before I got cancer, and I had just moved to the Bible Belt in Nashville, Tennessee, and my whole adult life I'd lived in L.A., New York, and Miami, and I was not used to people talking about Jesus in public, and I was like, wow, I love it here. Like, the dentist has a Bible in his waiting room. And so one day, I was at my Starbucks getting my Frappuccino. It's coconut milk, so it's healthy, and see, it has ice in it, so you're hydrating while you're dehydrating. So I have this little system of my Frappuccino. So I'm at the drive-thru window, and this really sweet guy named Joshua, he had some tattoos about Jesus on his arms, and he leaned out of the window, and he said, I want to pray. Can I pray for you? And I said, sure. And I didn't really know him, at all. And he started praying for me. And, Starbucks has a reputation of being a very liberal organization. So I hope he didn't get fired for doing this.
You're not given his last name, so his job's probably safe for the moment.
But he said, he started praying, and everything he said was like what I had prayed the night before. And it was the weirdest thing. So I painted it so I could always remember this, because it was such a God moment. And I'm looking at the painting right now. It says October 2013. So I got diagnosed 2 years later.
Wow.
He said, you have been faithful in your relationship. He was praying, and he said, the Lord says you've been faithful in your relationships, and your family is in a season of rest. And then he said, opportunities will come that were put on hold because of circumstances. And I had put my career on hold for 20 years so my husband could do his job in Miami as a police helicopter pilot.
Yes.
And so I was driving away from the Starbucks, and I kept thinking, Vicki, you got to write this down. You got to write this down, because this is too crazy. Those are the same things you said last night. You said, Lord, am I doing the right thing? I don't, And and so when he said your family will be in a season of rest, I thought, uh-oh, that means that it's going to end. It's a season, and something's going to be happening that's not restful. And maybe God was preparing me, you know, like in 2 years, you're going to be fighting cancer, you know.
But that must have been neat to look back on that as you went through, because you already knew what God had said up front.
Yeah, I just got, you know, chills, like, oh, God does know I'm here. Because just the night before I had said, Lord, I'm so frustrated. You know, am I doing the right things? Do you like how I'm living for you? You know, it was just, yeah. So I love those little moments, those personal moments when God, a God wink is how, I forget his name, puts it. He wrote a book about it. He calls it a God wink, or a God, instead of a coincidence, a God-cidence or something.
Yes, I've heard that.
When you just know God's winking at you and going, I know you're there. I'm here. It's cool, you know.
Well, you have a lot of those God winks in your book. And that Starbucks story happened to be one of my favorites. But is there another one that, whether it's from the book or not, do you have a favorite story from this difficult journey? Do you have a favorite story that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I could sing you my song that I wrote.
I would absolutely love that. I don't think any of our other guests have sung for us, so this will be a Charisma News first.
Well, my small group, sorry, my small group was praying for me, laid hands on me when I had cancer and was bald, and they really helped
great.
Me through it. And I was thinking one day, well, you know, everybody has struggles and problems. Cancer's not the only one. And so I just used some of their prayer requests as lyrics for this song. Are you ready for my song?
I am ready for your song.
Okay.
I'm sure we're all ready.
Okay. It's called It's a Broken World, Baby. Okay. Tattoo. Now just pretend I'm playing the ukulele, okay?
All right. I've got my imagination turned on.
Okay, because I can't hold the phone and the uke at the same time.
Talent can only go so far.
Yeah, and this is a landline. So, okay.
Yes.
Tattoo of a broken ukulele, light blue turquoise lies. He might leave me in the middle of my chemo. I would not be so surprised. Yeah, I got cancer, and so does my dog. My car won't start, and my sink has a clog. My checks are bouncing, but my trampoline's torn. I am not surprised, because I've been warned. It's a broken world, baby. I know you agree. Bum, ba, bum, ba, ba. The second law of thermodynamics says the world is in a state of entropy. That's a fancy word for broken, you see. Ba, 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 ba. Lanny's back is causing him pain. Bob's OCD is driving Donna insane. Gilbert's dad, he needs a diagnosis. I quit kissing Daisy because she has some halitosis. That's my dog. My heart is broken and I stubbed my big toe. I just got fired and my food is GMO. I accidentally stepped onto my ukulele, rushing to say hi to my new neighbor, the Israeli. Well, you try to rhyme with ukulele. It's a broken world, baby! Since even Adam gave in. But there's a new world coming. That's why my song has a grin. That's why my song has a grin. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. I'm going to meet him in the sky in the twinkling of an eye.
Aw, thank you so much. I love that you're able to put your heart and your humor into everything you do, I think. It's just you. That's one of the things I especially loved about your devotional, Victoria, because you are a transparent person and that just comes across. One of the things that ministered to me was you didn't try to hide something you've already mentioned today, that sometimes there's struggles in your marriage. How did cancer impact? You call him husband throughout the book. How did cancer impact your relationship with husband?
Well, you know, I wanted to include that because a friend of mine got breast cancer and her husband left her that year. Mm-hmm. And when we went to my doctor, my oncologist, he said, marriages that are struggling don't make it through breast cancer. And so, marriage has been the hardest thing in my whole life. And I think it is for a lot of people, but you're not supposed to talk about it. And
right.
I like Lisa Turkhurst, you know, she's telling people about her struggle in her marriage, you know. And Christians like me, when we're at the gym, we like to listen to people like her encouraging us, you know.
Yes, real people with real problems.
Yeah, because, like, it kind of makes me doubt God's love for me when I'm like, well, divorce is a sin, but this doesn't seem like right. And so I guess it's two sinners get married. And
definitely.
I guess marriage is teaching us forgiveness and unconditional love and stuff like that. And I know sometimes you can't stay married. I was married before my first husband. He never had a job. And when I married him, God warned me, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness?
Whoa.
And I said, yeah, God warned me. And I was 26. And mm-hmm. I said, I know, Lord, but I'm taking him to church. And I was alone in L.A., and my true love had married someone else. And anyway, so I expected that marriage to be bad because God warned me. But this mm-hmm. one, I married a Christian, and we've been married 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we just see everything opposite, and we still love Jesus. And so cancer, well, I mean, I wish I could say it made us closer, but it didn't. It was just kind of, it's always been the same, before, during, and after cancer. Kind of mm-hmm. a daily spiritual challenge.
Something that keeps driving you back to Jesus.
Yes, and I thought maybe the Lord is trying to teach me that my maker is my husband. This is what God told me. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm supposed to worship God, not my husband. I'm supposed to find my security and my joy and my hope in Jesus, not in my husband.
Exactly.
And so that's what he's teaching me. And my husband, who is adorable and very muscular and cute, I'm supposed to be praying for him, and he's supposed to be praying for me and trying to help each other obey Jesus. And so many of my prayers, I say, Lord, help me obey you, because that's the hardest thing.
For sure. Well, your whole book is encouragement. I think it even says, it says devotions for women with breast cancer, but you're obviously trying to encourage other people on this journey. But what about, let's say you have a friend walk up to you today, and she tells you that she's received this diagnosis. What do you say to her?
Actually, that happens a lot. A lot of women are getting it, and even
yes.
at 30 years old.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I tell them, oh, I've been through that. No big deal. That's what a lady said to me when I got it, and it so encouraged me. She really meant it, too.
Uh-huh.
She was this friend of mine. She said, oh, I've had that. She said, worst part, the tubes. Like when you have those tubes after your mastectomy and you have to get the fluids, you
the
have
drains,
to measure how much
yeah.
fluids coming, you know, gross stuff like that. But they have medicine for everything now. I didn't really have bad nausea because they have pills for that. And they're very advanced, and the people were so nice, the professionals. But I would tell a woman, first of all, you have to know Jesus. Because if you know the Lord, it's a win-win. For me, to absent from the body, present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Bible says it over and over that the life after this one, eternal life, is way better than this one. And so you go, hey, if this is your, if you're going to die this year, yay. And if you're not, yay. So I would tell them to know the Lord, to really study the Bible. I'm in a Bible study class now, two of them, and wow, it's really rich. I mean, the Bible, you can study it forever and still not scratch the surface of it.
Exactly.
It's living, and it's like food, spiritual food. I would tell them, don't be scared. It's not that bad. The Word is scarier than the rest of it. And know the Lord. And I would tell them that they should make some art out of it, because all good art comes from pain.
Those sound like great words to me. One thing I would love to have you do, if you would, before we go, if you would pray for our listeners. I know that would mean a lot to me, and it would mean even more to them. Would you do that for us, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us hope. Psalm 43:5, Luke 1:37, Romans 8:28. Your word, Lord, you tell us over and over, Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Thank you, Lord, King James Version. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the knowledge that you are with us, and that eternity is ahead of us, and that we can live with you in a perfect place, even though we don't deserve it, because you died for our sins and rose from the dead. And I just thank you for the gospel, the good news that we have that, Lord, and that all these earthly things are so small. I just thank you for healing. I thank you for forgiveness and mercy. I thank you for my fellow Christians who encourage me. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me cancer, God, because it's made my testimony much richer. And I pray for any woman who's listening to this, Lord, that she would know that you're real, that Jesus, you are God, and you love her more than anything, that you died for her and rose from the dead, showing her that she can rise from the dead too and be with you.
Yes.
And I just pray you would carry her through this journey and bless her and heal her, whether it's here or there in heaven. And Lord, I'm thinking of my friend Mary Millar and her family, and my friend Barbara Cairns, Lord, who just went to heaven to be with you when they had cancer. And I just pray, I just think of them, Lord, and how happy they are now.
Yes.
And I just thank you, Jesus. And I pray that if someone's never asked you into their heart, that they would do it today, Lord. And thank you that I got to know you from my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm just so grateful that you took the time to share with our listeners today, and I know they're going to be very encouraged by your words and your music.
Well, I'm not really a singer, but don't tell anyone.
Okay, it'll be our secret. Thanks so much for joining us today, Victoria. I know people are really going to appreciate everything you've shared, your words, and your music. I want to make sure that people know that Victoria's book, with her beautiful self playing her ukulele on the cover, is called Lavender Hair, 21 Devotions for Women with Breast Cancer. This has been Marty Pieper on the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.